2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Look at verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, look in John, the 7th chapter. I know when we read these verses, you'll wonder what the connection is, but hang with me, all right? John, the 7th chapter, verse number 37. John 7, 37. In the last day, the great day, that great day, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now go to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. Fourth chapter, and let's look at verse number 6. John 4 and verse number 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There came, or cometh, a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, watch this, a well of water springing up into life everlasting. Father, thank you for this place, for this church. I'm so thrilled and blessed to be here, and I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing. Thank you for the pastor. And Lord, thank you for the history that you have allowed me to have with this ministry all down through the years. What a blessing. I pray this morning that you'd glorify yourself. Jesus, we desire to glorify you and exalt you, that all may see you. And you said if we lift you up, you'd draw men unto you. And so I pray, Father, that you'd speak to hearts. I pray that every Christian would get something to help them today, Father. I pray if there'd be one here without Christ, not saved, that today they'd come, trust you as their personal Savior. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll give you a little history, first of all, especially chapter 7. Jesus was there in the Feast of the Tabernacles, and he's watching the priest and the people come in with their palm leaves and their water pots and so on. And he was moved in his heart and cried out. He said, men and brethren, come unto me, for everyone comes unto me. He said, I want to give you water to drink. Give you salvation, but it'll be like rivers of living water. He said, rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit, which was to come. Because when Jesus went back to heaven, he prayed the Father, and the Father poured out the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came down upon the earth. And so when a person gets saved, there's a rivers of living water. Well, I want to tell you something. God does something to change the life. The Bible says there in the verse we read, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. And I thank God when God saves you, he changes you. Amen. He changes. There's a change takes back. If you is what you was, you ain't. Can I say that again? If you is what you was, you ain't. Huh? When God saves, he changes a life. And I thank God that God saved me. I saved July 2nd, 1961, and a little Patchen Elementary School building in southern Michigan. And I went forward and got saved that morning. You've heard my testimony, many of you here, but let me just go back and rehearse a little bit of it because it's part of the message. I was raised in a home that my parents were not Christians. My father was not saved. My mother, in fact, on my side, the family, I didn't know anybody that was saved. I didn't know anybody. As far back as you could go into the second cousins, I couldn't find anybody saved. Same thing on my wife. Nobody is saved. There was one young lady who claimed to be a Christian that we knew of in the family, but that was all. So everybody on both our side, when we got saved, man, we were the only ones that knew the Lord. But God saved me. When I was lost, I didn't want anything to do with God. When people come around and witness to me, I cuss them out. Say, I don't want to hear that. I got my own religion. Well, what a big lie that was, and so on. But they kept witnessing. Thank God for people who witness. And thank God for men, and especially men in the place of employment, that they don't give up on people. Because there was one man there named Bill Van Buren. He never gave up on me. I didn't know anything about born again. I didn't know what salvation, saved. I didn't know the word saved meant. I was ignorant. I didn't even know that the baby that was that Christmas was all about grew up, died on the cross, was buried and rose again, and that was Easter. I didn't put the two together until about 18 years old. I never saw the inside of a church until I was 16 years old. And I went to a modernistic liberal church. The only reason I went is because I got my driver's license. I was 16, and I was begging the family car. I just wanted to drive. And I asked my dad if I could take my sister to church. And I don't care. So we went to church. And I went in this church. First of all, we did have a Bible. Nobody ever read it. I picked up and read it when I was about 12 years old. And it didn't make any sense. I mean, I put it, and I never touched it. I had a little bit of knowledge that Bible, that book, had something to do with church. So I took that with me. It's a little white Bible, zipper around it. And we went into Sunday school and sat down in the teen class, and there were kids from the public school where I went there, and they didn't have a Bible, so I sat on the Bible because I was embarrassed. I took that Bible to church. I said, oh, I thought that had something to do with church. So after Sunday school, we went into morning service. Went in, and there was about probably 200, 300 people there, and I'm sitting on that Bible again. And they all, you know, all stood and sang and so on, and amen, you know. And finally, this guy come out in a dress. So what's he wearing, a dress? And he come in, and then he didn't see a Bible. I saw he had some papers, and so he's going through his papers, and that's what it sounded like. And I yawned so many times, I got lockjaw, you know. And I said, man, I got to get out of here. And when I left, they never said, hi, goodbye, who are you, don't come back or come back. I felt like I broke the trespass law. And I left, and I said, I ain't never going back to that again. And I never did. And I thought all churches were the same. I didn't know Methodists and Catholics and all that. It was church, and that was church. I said, no, why would anybody go to that? Deader than 4 o'clock, man. And so I never did go back. But I had that Bill Van Buren, the guys at work, they witnessed to me. One time he stuck his finger in my face, said, Fred Schindler, don't you know you're going to die? You're a sinner and you're going to die and go to hell? Don't you know that God loves you and that Christ died for you and you need to be saved? And I looked at him, man, I'm going to tell you something. But he had these tears going down his face. I couldn't get away from those tears, man. I didn't cuss him out. You have to understand, me cussing somebody out when I was 22 years old, 20 years old, I only weighed 106 pounds, soaking wet when I got married. I weighed 106 pounds. I was so skinny that I had to tease the hair on my legs to keep my socks up. I was so skinny. I was like that young girl who was in my Sunday school one time. She was so skinny, if she got a run in her nylon, her leg would have fell out. And there I was, and I looked at him. I couldn't get away from that. Everywhere I went, I thought about, who is God? Where is God? What is God? Is there a God? Is there a hell? Oh, if there's a hell, I'm going there. Is there a heaven? And I couldn't get away from that. And so finally, through a couple who moved in across the street from us who were Christians, they finally got me to go to church. Now we went to a little elementary school building. So I go in there and said, this is strange. I never saw a church like this before, sitting on folding chairs in a public classroom. And so I was sitting, and the pulpit was, you know, right there in front of me. And I'm on the third row, and I'm three seats in, and I'm sitting here, and Bonnie's sitting here, and the preacher that had started that church is sitting on the outside. And the man who's preaching was a man who was going to be my pastor. I didn't know it. He was candidating. They called him to be the pastor. He had laid a fleece out. He said, God, if you want me to pastor Newburgh Baptist Church, let an adult be saved that morning. Lo and behold, guess what happened? Well, I'm sitting there, and the invitation comes. They start singing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God. I never heard that. I didn't know what the Lamb of God was. Didn't know what the blood was about. And so we're standing there, and Bonnie starts crying. And I look at her, and I said, what are you crying about? She cried all the harder. And that man leaned over, and he said, why don't you go forward and get saved? I said, saved? Am I saved? And I thought, I'm not drowning. What are you talking about? So she just cried. So he stepped out, and Bonnie stepped out. So I stepped out and said, where are we going? I don't join this church. Where are we going, you know? So we went up front, and they took her off that way, and he got me in. Right up on the platform. I mean, not platform, wherever the little pulpit was, chairs up here. And here he has me sit down. There's the church looking at me, 35 people. I thought the whole world was sitting there. And I'm looking at him, and I still don't get it. I just don't get it. So he opens his Bible, and it was all scribbled in. He was a preacher, and all scribbled. I said, what's he scribbling his Bible like that for? So he said, now the Bible says here, for God so loved the world. He said, now, Fred, you make up the world, don't you? I said, yeah. He said, you didn't come in the last spaceship, did you? I said, no, sir, I didn't. He said, well, let's put your name in here. For God so loved Fred Schindler. I said in my heart when he said that, I said, wow, I said, you mean he loved me? And I said, I'm going to listen. And for the first time in my life, I said, I'm going to listen. Now, I couldn't find the book of Genesis in the Bible if you handed it to me. And so he opened up the Word of God, and I listened. I heard the gospel for the very first time and understood it. And guess what I did? I got saved, man. Glory to God, man. Wow. And I want to tell you something. I was going to hell, and I was running as fast as I could away from God or anything else. But boy, when God saved me, man, he turned me around. Glory to God. I'm telling you what, it was exciting. I said, man, I'm going to heaven. I went into work. Now, you have to understand, here's this little old guy. He's filthy mouth. He's gambling and cursing and so on. Now, he comes in on Monday morning. And I walked over to the line where I worked, and there's a guy named Bill Alford. He called him Bones. He was there. And I said, hey, Bill. I said, guess what? He said, what? I said, somebody went to church yesterday. He said, who did? I said, I did. He said, well, praise the Lord, he said. I said, hey, Bill. He said, what? I said, guess what? Somebody got saved yesterday at church. He said, that right? I said, I did. Oh, he said, praise the Lord. I said, glory to God, man. I tell you, man, God, I'm one of those guys that really got saved. Oh, he got saved. Oh, no, he really got, I really got saved. God changed my life. My pastor gave me a Christian Workers New Testament. Leather bound. Now, I honestly didn't know that you could read Matthew, then read Revelation, then read Colossians, then read James, and then read Peter. I thought it was a book. So I read it from cover to cover. I just read Matthew to Revelation, Matthew to Revelation, Matthew to Revelation, until the pages fell out. I'd read in there, and I didn't know what a concubine was. I thought an epistle was a wife of an apostle. And I went to my Sunday school teacher. I said, what's a tithe? He said, tithe? I never heard of tithe. I said, it's in the Bible. He said, where's tithe? I never heard of a tithe. I said, right here, and opened up, I think it was Matthew 19. I said, right there, it says tithe. He said, that's not tithe, that's a tithe. I said, tithe? What's a tithe? He said, well, you're supposed to give 10% of your income to the Lord's work through your church. I said, what? He said, you're supposed to put 10% of your income to the Lord's work through your local church. That's tithing. I said, I can't do that. I'm in debt. He said, can you get out of debt easier by obeying God or disobeying God? I said, I don't like you. I didn't like him or God for a little while. But I'll tell you something, man, there was something stirred up inside me. Glory to God, I'd read the Bible and it just come alive. I mean, it come alive. Oh, my soul. And then my pastor, now he was very low-key. Very low-key. And he just preached. But a great preacher, a teacher. But bombastic? No. We would know he told a joke because we'd watch his wife. And if his wife's shoulders shook a little bit, we'd say, he told a joke. But he's a great pastor, and he's a great soul winner. But he wasn't much to preach. Now, I didn't know. I remember. The only thing I'd heard is, and I heard my pastor. I thought everybody preached like that. Well, he decided to have a revival and had Dr. Staley Sorrell come from Van Dyke Baptist Church. Staley Sorrell, he's about that wide. He had a jet black suit, had this big black wave in the top of his head right here. One you could stick your finger in. I saw him about 15 years ago. He don't have a wave, but he has the beach. But man, he got up and he opened his Bible and he'd read the scripture. And I said, why is he hollering like that? What is this? Why is he hollering? But it wasn't why he's hollering, what he's hollering. Amen. I found myself at the altar. I said, dear God, as best I knew, brand new Christian, best I knew, I said, God, I give you my life. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll be anything you want me to be. Glory to God. And I meant that with all my heart. And guess what happened? I was sitting in church one Sunday morning, my preacher preaching on Ecclesiastes, the 23rd chapter, and where it says, I saw a man to stand at the gap, make up the hedge, and God called me to preach. God called me to preach. I went and told my preacher, I said, God's called me to preach. He said, can you do anything else? I thought, he meant, can I be a carpenter? Can I be, you know, I said, well, I don't know. He said, would you be happy doing anything else besides preaching? I said, oh, no, sir. No, that's all I want to do. I want to preach. And I want to tell you something, man. God began to open the doors, and I began to preach, and I preached down to the rescue mission and different places. I was having a time going to Bible college, and then God had me start a church. Wow, man. Started a church on September 19, 1965 in American Legion Hall. And we had 17 attendants. The second Sunday, my mother-in-law and father-in-law come. Well, when you get your mother-in-law saved, that'd be wonderful, amen? Well, anyhow, they came, and he sat in the back row. And so, in the invitation, he was sitting there crying. So I went back, sat down on the pew, phone chair in that American Legion Hall, and sat down next to my father-in-law and won my father-in-law to the Lord. Amen. My mother-in-law got mad. I thought she went mad. I mean, she was mad beside herself. But I did. I baptized him. First time I baptized him, went down the Huron River. Now, my father-in-law was about 6 foot tall. I'm 5 foot seven. I weighed about 10 or 15 at that time. And so I got him in the river, and a man in my church had helped me. I didn't know when you baptize him, you baptize him upriver, not downriver. I baptized him downriver. That's true. That's not. I went out soul winning one time, and I knocked on this door, and this voice inside the house said, "Come in." Now you know what that. You still hesitate about going in, you know. You kind of watch. Come and open the door, you know. But I knocked again. She said, "Come in." So I stepped in. I was with my associate pastor, and I looked around. I didn't see anybody. She's over here, and I looked over. There's this woman sitting there, and I'm sorry, but I want to tell you something. She was a big woman. And she enveloped that chair. And she's looking over there, and I'm telling you, she's a big woman. And I went over and won her to Jesus. Amen. So I invited her to church, and I talked to her about baptism. So she came. So Sunday morning. Now, we bought a Methodist church, building our church that we started, and had to build a baptismal tank. So they made it out of big pieces of sheets of steel. And so on. And boy, it's really well made, and had steps going down into it. And one of the problems was it wasn't very wide, you know, like that. So I went and got my sport coat on and my waders. I had waders. And so I went down and stood there, and I looked, and here she come. I want to tell you, she's big. And she smiled at me, and I smiled like that. And she started down. When she started down, she appeared to the people, and the people started snickering. And she just looked, and she came down. When she came down, she was right against me like that, and right against that wall. When she turned and looked at me, her eyes right there. Man, she's looking at me. And I said, oh, my, I'm in trouble. 115 pounds soaking wet. And the water, when she came down, the water went up. And the water went into my boots. And now I'm standing in the water, and she's looking at me like that. And so I was brave, man. I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I reached up to get her neck. She didn't have any neck. And so I started down. When she started, she turned. She went like that, and her head went down, her feet went up, and she got my tie and pulled me, and under her I went, and there we were, and the water just splashing around her. And I finally come up like this, and she is going out, and I'm looking like that, and they're all laughing for some reason. And the guy in the back says, "You didn't get her all the way under, preacher." That's a true story. I lie not. I want to tell you something, man, serving God was exciting. It was a joy, man. I was having a time. Boy, God was working in my life. I thank God for everything. Man, I want to tell you something. There's just something about the joy of that. There's something about the excitement about that. Amen? Whew, glory to God. Huh? I'm going to tell you, when you get saved, man, the Savior comes in your heart. And the joy of your sins forgiven. Man, you talk about rivers of living water. Lord of God, man, it was good. Praise the Lord, man. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Mm-mm-mm. Now my time's almost gone. How many give me another 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. I'm ready. But I got news for you. There are times when it wasn't like that. There were times when things, really trials and tribulations, I didn't always handle as well as I should have. There were times when the joy wasn't there like it should have been, and so on. But it says here in the fourth chapter, notice what it says in chapter 4, verse number 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know, the wonderful thing about God and salvation, that well really is Jesus. Yeah. That joy is him. It's not just serving the Lord, not just preaching, teaching. It's him. How wonderful. And boy, I want to tell you something. It's a terrible thing when you lose your joy. It's a terrible thing when you lose the song. It's a terrible thing when you forget how it was when you first got saved. It's really bad when you kind of get into the same old life, and all of a sudden the good things of God and the joy of the Holy Spirit working in your heart's not working. Let me show you something and I'll be done. Look over in Genesis, the 26th chapter, would you? Genesis, the 26th chapter. Look, if you would, please, at verse 15. Here's Isaac. He's going to dig the wells of his father Abraham. Genesis 15, 26. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, and Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham the father, for the Philistines stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which the father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Kind of interesting, because here is an illustration, and it says that Abraham dug those wells, but then the Philistines, verse 15 says, came and filled them with earth. Filled them with earth. That reminded me of a verse in James where it talks about that he says the wisdom that he said descendeth, this wisdom, talking about the wisdom of the world and the devil, is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. John 3:31 says, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. Philippians 3:19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. And I found in my life sometimes, preacher, that as I'm going through, I lost my joy because the well got plugged up. Because it got filled with earth. Sometimes I found that sometimes somebody would come by and kick dirt in my well. And they'd kick some earth in my well. I found that sometimes my well got filled with sin and earth and earthly things and earthly minded things and sensual things. And I lost my joy. The well was not bubbling in my life. But you know what it says here? It says that Isaac decided to dig the wells. So he went over, and he didn't have a backholder back in those days. There weren't tractors. I got a hunch that I can just about picture old Isaac getting down on his knees. And he says, man, I've got to get the joy back. So he started digging the well again, and he kept digging. Oh, my. See, 1 John 1:9 still works. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And he kept digging and digging. Boy, things began to change, but he didn't get the well springing yet. See, I think sometimes we quit too soon.
Yeah.
I think we don't go deep enough. And we don't get. But you know what happened? It says he kept going. They kept digging. And all of a sudden, up come the well, springing up. And all of a sudden, boy, I'm so glad when it comes back. Don't get around me when it comes back on me. Glory to God, I might have a spell. I sat next to one time, and he was, I'm telling you, he was really getting with it. I heard him order, whew, whew, wow, whew, whew. I said, man, what's going on? Man, he's getting a hold of God. All of a sudden, he stood up and went, glory to God, man. I said, woo-wee. He got his joy back. He unplugged the well. It came forth bubbling once again. I don't want to live my life without the well bubbling. I want Jesus to give me joy. you get your joy? Were you saved one time and you remember the joy you had? Do you still have it? Maybe you need to get on your knees. Maybe you need to get your well cleaned out. Maybe you need to get the earth out of your well. Maybe here this morning you need to come and get the well. Let's stand to our feet, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father in heaven, please, please, I pray, Father, that you'd help us. I think every person who got saved can remember those good days, those wonderful days when you were first saved, and how wonderful it was, and the joy that you had, and the excitement of knowing Christ, and the Bible promises came alive. Lord, but there were times in my life when I had to go get alone somewhere, or go to the church altar and get on my knees. Maybe at a Bible conference or the pastor's school or somewhere, I'd get on my knees and I'd start digging the well out again. Lord, give me my joy back. Lord, help me, dear Jesus. Help me. I want to walk with you and I want the joy bells ringing in my soul again. Our life is filled with so much earthly things, earthly minded, earthly wisdom, earthly pleasure. Lord, help me, please. Help me get my joy back. Help us, I pray.